This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
We begin hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Michael Lombardi. And Michael, I do want to get your thoughts here on several things. And one of them in the NFL draft came and went. And we saw that the Tennessee Titans decided to draft Malik Willis in the third round. Now, some people had first round grades on Malik Willis. Not everybody. We knew that this going in was not going to be a strong quarterback class. Now, I don't know if that just fell to them in the third round. They went, man, this is just too good to pass up. We cannot pass on Malik Willis here in this third round. But they didn't tell the quarterback about it. And that's their incumbent quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. So he was asked about it by the media. And he basically said, and he said a lot of things, but one of them, first and foremost, was, it's not my job to mentor Malik Willis. And I think that ruffled some people the wrong way. He went on to say that he's had many sleepless nights since their playoff loss to Cincinnati. He's actually had to seek therapy for it. So he took that loss. They were the number one seed, and they didn't get it done against Cincinnati. We know what the rest is history there as the Bengals go all the way to the Super Bowl. Let's get back to the beginning comments, which are, it's not my job to mentor my potential replacement. As an executive, is that what you want to hear? Or is that just something you say, no, your job is team, and now he's part of the team?
No, I mean, he's not the coach, right? The coaches, that's what we pay coaches. They're paying coaches millions of dollars to mentor players. It's not Ryan Tannehill's job at all. Ryan Tannehill has enough on his plate to handle what he does. You know, he's got to play well, and he's got to handle what he's doing. To me, that's more important. And look, they drafted a guy in the third round. There's no guarantee he's going to be a viable starter in the league. How many third round picks, I mean, other than Joe Montana, that you know of a quarterback that end up playing? Think about that for a moment. Think about what third round pick ends up playing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a round that, you know, it's very rare to get a quarterback in the third round who ends up starting. I mean, look, you can go through the second overall pick quarterbacks in the draft and not find many. I mean, it's hard to find them there, let alone in the third round. To me, once you pass them in the top 10, the chance of you finding a bona fide starter is pretty rare.
And the difference too, Michael, and you know this better than anybody, is the pressure of drafting first-round quarterbacks means, from the fan base at least, and the media, is I got to see the kid play. Like at some point, if you're a first-round, even Josh Rosen, who was 10th overall, but you had to see it so you knew it wasn't going to work. You don't need that with later-round picks, right? Now, ironically, I can think of some fourth-rounders because I was there in D.C. when Kirk Cousins came in the same draft with Robert Griffin III, and that just kind of worked out once RG3 got hurt. You know, obviously Russell Wilson comes to mind, but he wasn't supposed to be the guy in the third round there in Seattle. You don't have to see later-round picks play the position, right? It's just incumbent on the first-rounders and maybe second-rounders.
Well, look, I mean, you know, Malik Willis is going to be ready to play next year anyway. I mean, he's got the red shirt. I mean, Logan Whiteside is going to be the backup. I mean, let's just put that out there. I mean, that's no chance Malik Willis is going to be able to come in there, learn their offense, be able to make the adjustments, make the calls, move people around, and handle everything. He's got no chance. So, to me, it's going to be a year of learning for him at best. At best. And so this is a big year for Tannehill. It gives him a chance to get his career back on track. I mean, back in 19, Tannehill played his best football. He averaged 9.6 yards per attempt that year. You know, he was sensational. He was, you know, he was a Pro Bowl player. Last year, it just wasn't the same. Now, we know that, you know, Derrick Henry wasn't healthy the whole year. They lost some of their, you know, without their out their offensive weapons. I mean, Julio was never really a good player for him last year. It was one of the worst trades you could make. Mm. So, but he's had to carry the load. Their offensive line hasn't been as good. So, look, Tannehill's got to play really his best. He's got to play lights out for them to win. Now, and last year where I think he got tied up and he made too many mistakes, he threw 14 interceptions. The year before, he only threw 7. The year before that, he threw 6. He turned the ball over too much last year for the Titans, which is something they didn't want to do. That's usually what they don't do. You know, I said this yesterday to Patrick. I mean, the Titans are one of those teams that I never really like because I don't think they're very talented, but I love their coach. But offensively, they're going to struggle a little bit as they get going, losing A.J. Brown, not having another outside receiver. Where are they all going to go? I think the Colts have improved themselves with Matt Ryan at quarterback. I think that they're going to challenge them.
When you look at what's going on in Seattle very quickly here with Pete Carroll, and he said he doesn't see the Seahawks trading for a quarterback before the beginning of the season. They didn't draft a quarterback either after trading away, of course, Russell Wilson to Denver. Now, they got Drew Lock in that deal. And, you know, Michael, sometimes, you know, to me, age is just a number. And you look at it and you go, well, Pete Carroll, does he want to start over now with Drew Lock as his quarterback? Like, does this mean to you Baker Mayfield is not a possibility of going to Seattle?
I mean, Baker hasn't been a possibility in Seattle for a while. They've been saying this all along. They haven't really changed the narrative at all. I mean, they've been steadfast in this, and they really didn't spend a lot of time on the rookies. They didn't go – you didn't see Pete Carroll at Malik Willis's workout, private workout. You didn't see Pete Carroll going to a private workout with Desmond Ridder or with any of the quarterbacks in the draft. They were of the mindset this wasn't a great quarterback draft. So, you know, I think they are. To me, it begs another question. If you're Andrew Barry, where are you going with Baker Mayfield?
Right.
You got $18 million guaranteed. You got to pay it to him, and you don't have a taker in Seattle. So your only taker is Carolina, and you're telling Carolina you're not going to pay any of the salary. Well, that's great. You don't pay any of the salary, but who's going to take it? You're going to end up paying it all. Like, what are we going to do? Well, you know, and so I think ultimately, you know, they're going to have to make a decision here.
Well, and the bizarre thing is, this came from Baker's camp. They put it out there that we are requesting a trade. And normally when you do something like that, you assume that there's demand. But it's almost like, hey, I'm here. Come get me. Nobody wants you is what it feels like. It feels like the musical chairs have stopped now after the NFL draft. And I'm hard-pressed, like you, to figure out a roster that would be a spot for Baker Mayfield. And at this point, it feels like there's no starting spots available, right?
There's none. I mean, that's the one thing about the quarterback market is unless the Browns are going to carry them and see what happens, you know, but once the quarterback chairs have been taken, you know, then there's no chairs left. Like, let's take, for example, you know, I mean, Jarrett Stidham in New England. You know, there's 4 quarterbacks on New England. They draft a kid in the 4th round, Bailey Zuppa. So that means Stidham's going to be out of a job.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with him. So now that's what goes on. I mean, the Browns signed Jacoby Brissett to be the backup. They got Josh Dobbs to be the backup. They signed Felix Harper to be the practice squad guy. So now what's going to happen? I mean, this is all moving along. They've got to move on from Baker Mayfield. They can't keep him any longer. And every team in the league knows it. And so why would you do anything other than just sit tight?
Can Baker Mayfield, it's not that far removed from him being the first pick in the NFL draft, right? And say what you want about Baker. He did try to play through the injury last year in Cleveland, and maybe that wasn't as smart a decision as it looked, because it looked like he was really trying to be a leader and show that he wants to be here. And then on the way out, the Browns say, we wanted to get an adult in the room. And meanwhile, that adult is a guy who might not be able to play because of reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with football. So think about that when they make a statement like that, right? I mean, that's really in the face.
Yeah, I mean, look, Baker's time there. I mean, he shouldn't have been the first pick in the draft. I mean, Josh Allen should have been. Maybe Lamar Jackson should have been. Obviously, he wasn't the best quarterback in the draft. Just based on now that we can look back and see it. Lamar Jackson's the MVP of the league. Josh Allen's played, you know, has taken his team to the playoffs 2 years in a row. So, I mean, it's pretty clear. But, you know, I mean, the Browns have no options here, David. They what are they going to do? And if you're Matt Rhule of the Carolina Panthers, why would you do anything? I mean, Atlanta could use a quarterback, but, you know, I mean, they signed Mariota. They drafted Desmond Ryder, and they got Felipe Franks, so they're not going to invest in it. Go through all the teams.
Right.
Like, where are you going to put the kid? Where are you putting Baker Mayfield where you're going to give him a chance? I mean, if Seattle's saying no, and they're going with Geno Smith or Drew Locke, God knows that. I mean, that adds another one. I mean, you've seen the reports lately that the 49ers are less than enthused with Trey Lance. I mean, that came out today. I mean, you know, I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know what's happened, what's been going on. But to me, Garoppolo's available. Are they going to move him? I mean, they're carrying $24 million. None of it's guaranteed, but they're carrying it, and it's keeping them from re-signing Debo and some of the other players they want to get to.
If you're a coach or a GM now, and you're entertaining, and again, we walk down the steps here, you almost think the Browns are going to have to release him. Just get, you know, be clear of it, and so no team would want to take on that salary.
Well, that's what they're waiting on,
right?
So what's happening is Carolina said, look, we'll give you a seventh round pick, a sixth round pick. We'll pay $4 million. You pay 14. Okay,
right.
They're saying no, you got to pay it all. Well, they're not going to get all of it. They were initially asking for a number two. I mean, San Francisco was asking for two number twos for Garoppolo. Well, there's no market. All the chairs have been taken. The dancing has stopped. There's no chairs available.
Wow.
So what are we going to do?
It's going to be very interesting from Baker's camp and how they're going to be able to sell themselves if, in fact, they get released by the Browns and figure out how can I be a backup on another team and prove to them that I'm coming in here with the best intentions.
He won't go to another team as a backup. He'll go somewhere like Carolina where he can compete because his agent's got to put him in a place to where he can play. Because he needs another contract after this. If he goes and does what Mitchell Trubisky did and goes to Buffalo, he's not going to get paid. So he's going to go somewhere where he can be in position, not guaranteed, but be in position. To me, he should be all over the Browns to send them to Carolina because Carolina's desperate for a quarterback and Baker's desperate for an opportunity. It's the perfect marriage. Even though I'm not a Baker fan, it's the perfect marriage.
It's one that only one that seems to make sense out there right now for Baker Mayfield. When we come back, Michael, big news breaking out of the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll discuss when you come back with us right here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed. Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Kentucky Derby is Saturday, and right now VSiN is offering you a special $9.99 Kentucky Derby betting guide with previews of all the horses and jockeys for every race, plus best bets for the entire weekend, including the Run for the Roses. Pre-order your copy now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/derbyguide. That's VSiN.com/derbyguide. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, I am Dave Ross. Michael, are you a Derby guy? You gonna lay any money down on the Derby?
I'm not a bettor, but I love the Derby. I love, I've become fascinated with some of these, the horse stories, the training,
yeah,
and listening to people talk about them. So, I love watching the Derby. I don't really bet on it. I don't know enough about it. I probably should get into it more, but I'm not a bettor by say. I like giving out advice on football betting. That's about the only thing I like to do, but that's really about it. I enjoy it, though. The pomp, I would love to go. I've never been able to go. I would love to go to the Derby. I'd love to hang around there. My son was at Louisville for a couple of years, 3 or 4 years. He would go every single year. It's incredible. So I would love to do it. Patrick, I hopefully he went to the pharmacy today to get breakfast. I gave him some tips on where to go, so we'll see.
Do you think Patrick's going to go full regalia, like a big hat and, like that sort of
look? Oh, I think he'll look good. Yeah, I mean, Patrick will look good in whatever he does. There's no denying this. No, he's going to have a good, Yeah, I mean,
if there's somebody made for the Derby, it's Patrick.
Patrick. Yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, watch the doors fly open when he goes through that place. There's no doubt.
Yeah, it's a bucket list thing for me as well. I can't rock it, though. There's no way I can get the regalia like everybody does there at the Derby. I mentioned we have big-time breaking news here in the NFL, Michael. The NFL never sleeps, as you know. And the Raiders just put this out 13 minutes ago, and it simply says that Dan Ventrell is no longer with the Raider organization. We will have no further comment at this time. That is from Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders. And this now goes through what a change in the front office that we've seen from this time last year to where we are now. Obviously, well past just the John Gruden news as head coach. But you look at all these things that have happened here with Dave Ziegler coming in as the new GM. Obviously, you've got McDaniels now in fold. You do get Devontae Adams. You get Chandler Jones. And you extend Derek Carr. But is this, Michael, something that happens? Like, I look at the Steelers and Kevin Colbert. He stepped down after the draft, but we all knew that was coming. How big a surprise is this for you to hear that the president of the Las Vegas Raiders is out?
Well, I mean, it is a surprise in the sense that he was the interim president. He took over from Mark Bedain, who left last May or something like that. And so he took over for him, and he never was promoted to the full time. It was very instrumental in getting Josh McDaniels the job there. But I think the one thing about the Raiders, the football side is in pretty good shape with Dave Ziegler running the general manager's chair. He knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He's done it before, and of course, Josh McDaniels, I think, is an excellent coach. So this is more on the business side. They released the woman who was running the human resource department there, who was hired by Ventrelli last 2 weeks ago, which I think made people a little bit worried. Mark Davis, I think right now Mark Davis wants to reconfigure the business side. But Dame was a beloved figure on that in that organization. Everybody loves him. I love him. He goes back. His grandfather, Mark Bedain's grandfather, was Al Davis's basketball coach at Erasmus High School.
Wow.
So that's the connection. That's how far back it goes. And so he was a beloved figure in the organization, and I think that they're trying to get some camaraderie back in that area.
I look at the Raiders overall. We showed some of the big moves that they just made in this offseason, and yet they're still, at least the odds makers out here, are going to pick them 4th, 9-1 is what I'm seeing at BetMGM. It's a pretty good number that I look at it at first blush and go, wow, with the improvements that they've made defensively, Michael. But we've seen everybody else get better, right? The Chargers clearly got better in their offseason. The Broncos, no mistaking there with Russell Wilson. I thought the Chiefs had a very good draft here to maybe fill up some of their holes. They're still the small favorite to win this division at plus $1.35. Looking at the Raiders, do you think there's any value there at 9-1?
I do. I think, look, the one thing about the Raiders, when you look at their team, you know, for all the things that have happened to them since Gruden came on board, they've done a really bad job of rebuilding these lines, and they've wasted a lot of draft picks. And the Raiders have struggled. I mean, really have struggled defensively with getting enough defensive linemen. I mean, they signed Vernon Butler from Buffalo. They've got Jonathan Hawkins back. I mean, here's the way they've got to play it. They've got to play from in front. They've got to get Carr to be really good. And, you know, with Adams playing, Renfrow moves inside. That's going to be really good. They're going to need to get another running back back there. They drafted the kid Zamir White from Georgia. Hopefully he can play for him, fourth-round pick. Everybody loves him. Interesting story where they got him from. But they're going to need to get that. They're going to have to play from in front. Why? Because now when they're in front, Chandler Jones and Max Crosby can take over games. And they could take over games. And I think that ultimately that'll help them. They need to be able to do that. So they've got some issues. Colton Miller's a good left tackle, not a great left tackle, but this offensive line is a struggle. And, you know, they drafted the Parham kid in the third round. That he's going to have to come in and play. They're going to need to get this line back and ready.
Yeah, you look at where the Chargers went with the offensive tackle last year. You hit home runs in the draft year in the offensive line. That's going to help you out. But the Raiders haven't been able to do that. So let's see if they're going to get better collectively. But the defense does certainly look better, and the offense with Devontae Adams looks better. But can you keep the quarterback upright? That's going to be the biggest question mark here. And that's why they're probably the biggest odds, deepest odds on the board right now, 9-1. You know, I mentioned,
and they have the least amount of depth, though, too, Dave. I mean, they don't have great depth, you know. And so last year defensively, you know, they were 26th in points allowed, so they weren't very good. You know, for all the talk that you hear about the Raiders and Josh Jacobs is such a good running back, the Raiders averaged they were 27th in the National Football League in yards per attempt. Okay, that's a key stat. They were horrible in that area. You know, for as much we talk about, well, you know, they got a really good running game, they don't. You know, and then they were terrible on third down. They were 22nd in the league on third down. And then their defense, when they got into the red zone, they were 32nd in defense in the red zone. So there's a lot that Josh McDaniels has got to overtake here to get this thing turned around.
And they did not pick up his option, Josh Jacobs, for the next year, that fifth-year option. So he might be gone in the silver and black after this year. I mentioned Kevin Colbert stepping down as the GM of the Steelers because – Michael, he picked basically the next quarterback, right? As they go ahead and draft Kenny Pickett here, they don't have to make a move. They stand pat at 20 to do that. Is that normal, or is that just the Steeler way that they said, hey, we knew Kevin was going to be stepping down from his duties as GM, but we'll let him pick the quarterback that, if things go well, could be the quarterback there for the foreseeable future?
Well, there's not one person, maybe other than Bill Walsh, that would be in any organization that he alone would pick the quarterback. It's going to have to be a consensus, right? So Mike Tomlin had to sign off on Pickett. Look, Pickett was in the other side of the building for 4 years. I mean, if there's one team that knows Kenny Pickett better than anybody, it's the Steelers. You know, Kenny Pickett was not an endearing guy. When one of his visits he took to a team, you know, he kept his hoodie up the whole time. They couldn't wait to get him out of the building. I mean, they were not in love with him. It was very disappointing. And he didn't have very many visits. But the Steelers know him. The Steelers know him better than anybody. And that goes a long way. And I think that Kevin, who does a great job, you know, he wasn't going to just make this pick based on being his last year. He was going to make this pick based on what the scouts said, what he thought, and then, of course, what the coaches said. So Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, he's got to get involved in it too. We'll see. You know, they've got Mason Rudolph as the third. I mean, Kevin still thinks Mason Rudolph's a good player, and they're going to let Trubisky see what happens. I kind of get the sense that just knowing Pickett, that he'll do enough to where I think he'll be able to wrestle the starting job from Trubisky, because Trubisky will make too many mistakes.
So this is going to be quarterback competition for real. Like, when you pick a kid 20th overall in the first round, this is the difference. Like, we started this conversation with Malik Willis out west. You know, you go in the third round, or Malik Willis rather going to Tennessee, you go in the third round, those expectations are not there right away. Now, first round's different. So now you got Trubisky coming in, he's done absolutely nothing in Pittsburgh. So it's not like the job is just inherently his, right? And you get the holdovers, if you will, Mason Rudolph. But you really think this is going to be an open competition for the quarterback position?
Yeah, because I think, you know, ultimately they're not going to, you know, give it to anybody. They're going to earn it, right? They didn't pay Trubisky a lot of money. So since they didn't pay Trubisky a lot of money, they don't have any. They don't have real investment in any player. They're not like saying, okay, we've paid you, we're going to give you the starting job. They paid him on the come. And I think it's going to be a complete open competition this summer at La Trobe in training camp so they could see what they can have. Now, I mean, there's some other areas where they've got to fix, too, on the Steelers team. Are they good enough on the in the secondary? Are they going to be able to win him back in the corner? You know, they signed Witherspoon, the corner from Seattle by way of San Francisco, Levi Wallace from Buffalo. So they've got two new corners back there. They've got, you know, are they going to be able to – I thought Miles Jack was a really good signing. They get an inside linebacker to go along with Devin Bush, who they didn't pick the option on. But the offensive line is going to be the key. Can they improve in that offensive line this year? That's going to be the real key to their success.
And what's fascinating, too, 5 years ago when Mitchell Trubisky was coming to Chicago second overall, they just signed Mike Glennon to a big free agent deal there in Chicago. So it's like he's doing the same thing that Mitchell Trubisky he had to go up against 5 years ago. Now he's going to do it against the rookie. But instead of him being the rookie this time around, it's going to be the rookie from Pittsburgh. That's going to be fascinating with Kenny Pickett. All right, when we come back, Josh Applebaum is going to join the program here right on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Get you ready for horse racing's Triple Crown with a great offer for new customers. Sign up now with promo code Vegas22 and bet at least $25 in the Kentucky Derby. You're going to receive $25 in free bets for both the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes races. You must sign up with First Bet by May 7th using the code Vegas22 to qualify. Register today with code Vegas22 at VSiN.com/horses. Dave Ross back alongside Michael Lombardi. I am here because Patrick Maher is at the Kentucky Derby, and I'm sure he's looking lovely in the process getting ready for the big Kentucky Derby showdown tomorrow. It is always a pleasure to welcome Josh Applebaum back to the program here. Josh, been a minute since we caught up. Great to have you back on, my friend. Michael and I were talking about it, and the big buzz today is, you know, is Daniel LaRusso coming back in the form of Joel Embiid tonight? Is he going to try to give it a go? Will he fight for the Philadelphia 76ers? This number has been on the move since we began the show today, Josh, because of that news. It was about 3 for Miami, swung all the way to Philadelphia being the favorite. Now it's back to Miami, 1.5. How do you handicap this without knowing for sure whether or not Joel Embiid's going to play?
Yeah, Dave, Michael, it's great to be with you. And Dave, I know it's a big UFC weekend, so good luck to you this weekend.
Yes,
but
sir.
I'm really excited about this one, guys. And this is a microcosm to me of being glued into Twitter, because as we all know, you know, Twitter is really important to get this breaking news and breaking information. So to your point, Dave, this has been a really interesting line move. Remember, going into the series, you've had Miami win and cover both games pretty easily. They're now up 2-0, minus 1,400 on the series price, Philly plus 800. But this really goes to show you the effect of Joel Embiid to the point spread. A lot of these books at the very, very outset opened almost like Philadelphia -1 at home. And I think the odds makers were saying, hey, let's protect ourselves on the chance that Embiid may play. And remember, going into today, he was ruled as out. But then we see that Embiid upgraded to doubtful. There's a Sham Sharani tweet saying he's getting fitted for a mask. He's going to go through shoot around. We immediately saw this line, or when he was thought to be out, it got all the way to Heat -3.5. When that tweet came out that he may play, it got all the way down pretty much to a pick'em. But then we've seen this line tick back up to Miami. So whether he's playing or not, maybe he's going to be out, or maybe he's going to play. And just, I think that, you know, odds makers or sharp bettors are saying, hey, Miami Heat had a really good number here, a pick'em type number. Let's hit Miami. So when it bottomed out at a pick'em, a lot of money over the last hour or so is coming on the Heat to flip them all the way to -1.5. So line movement is going toward Miami here, guys. And I know it's a little bit of a popular play, which kind of gives me heartburn as a contrarian better. You're getting about 77% of bets on Miami here. But whether or not Embiid plays, I'm going to go Miami on the money line here. They've outplayed Philadelphia. I know Philadelphia is in a desperation spot, but to me, what I'm banking on is really favorites throughout this postseason. They've been fantastic. If you look at favorites against the spread, they're now 34-23. ATS 60%. If you see a favorite with a line move in their favor, like you're seeing here with Miami, they're 20-9 against the spread, 69%. And just straight up winning the game, if you're a favorite, you're 42-15, 74%. So if Embiid plays, if it's Willis Reed or Paul Pierce got on the wheelchair, guys, and they can find a win, then I'll tip my cap. But to me, if you're getting this Miami team at pretty much a pick 'em number, it's a value play to me. I'm going to go Miami on the money line tonight.
I like it. I think that's the way to go. I think you're better off just doing that. Go the money line, take the points out. You're going to get a good price in it. And then, you know, you just basically see, because I just think, to me, you know, there's going to be so much made of Embiid playing, but they haven't beaten Miami when Embiid plays. They struggle with Miami offensively. They can't get the ball in the basket. I think it'll be a hard game for Philly tonight. You know, and again, Dave, like you started the show off, if they're winning by eight in the fourth, it's going to be, you're going to see if they can hold on here.
Right. It's the way it's been so far. Miami just owns Philadelphia right now. So I'm kind of with you guys. It feels like without, independent of Joel Embiid, if you like Miami, then go, you should be safe to play the number. If you like Philadelphia and you're playing that guessing game, whether or not he plays, good luck to you, because there are a lot of reports, Josh, to your point here. Certainly the Shams one caught my attention too. So we do not know whether or not he's going to be able to go, but it looks like he's attempting to, but that doesn't mean he will. And that number will change before tip, depending on whether or not Embiid does in fact play. You know, we talk about Phoenix and Dallas and a similar situation here. It feels like Dallas can, you know, fight with them for a while, even back to the regular season. And then fourth quarter time comes and Chris Paul takes over and it's, you know, Phoenix is going to win it again. Now they're laying a point on the road. Pick them here at BetMGM. What do you make of this short number here for Phoenix? Do you like them to go up 3-0? As you mentioned here, Josh, favorite's been pretty good, even though this one is down to a pick at some places.
So, Dave, I think first thing it jumps out to when you look at our VSiN board here is, why is this game a pick'em? Doesn't that seem really fishy? The Suns have won and covered both games. Doncic is just fantastic right now, but he's getting no help from anybody. But yet it's a pick'em. It just seems fishy to me that this number is so low. So, you know, this kind of goes to maybe the odds makers. A lot of people think like they set traps, basically. But that really isn't the case. You know, they're putting out a number that's, you know, fair based on their models and algorithms. But sometimes the public kind of gets trapped by a perception type play. So this is the most lopsided NBA playoff game that I've seen so far this postseason. You're getting 84% of bets on the Phoenix Suns. How can you blame anyone? They're looking great. Booker is now healthy again. And they're getting a pick'em number. You almost feel like, hey, that's a pretty good value play. But to me, guys, the most important thing is some shops are actually -1 Phoenix Suns as an opener. It's either, still, if you can find a +1 Dallas, that would be worthwhile too. But if it's +1 as an opener for Dallas, why is line down to a pick 'em? The line is going to Dallas, despite the fact they're only getting 16% of bets. So it tells me you have some reverse line movement here on Dallas. I'd shop around. My play is +1 Dallas if you can find it. Am I confident? No, but I got to put some faith in this really sharp reverse line move. And I think odds makers are kind of taking a position here. They're saying, hey, we know we're going to get pounded by nonstop, you know, recreational money on the Phoenix Suns, but they're not unwilling to kind of move that number up. And also say, guys, I went into this saying, hey, I really want to bet the over today. You know, overs have been great for the Phoenix Suns. I think they're 6-1 their last 7. Dallas is 10-5 to the over their last 15. But this number got raised a little bit higher than the first two games. We had like a 214, a 217. Now this was up to 219, and it's actually falling down to 218.5. So I'm not going to play the total. That line movement a little bit to the under scared me off. But I got to take Dallas, guys. This is the ultimate hazmat play. Give me Mavs +1.
You know, it's funny, though. It's just hard for me. As much as I love Dallas, Dallas can't beat them. It's a little bit like Philly-Miami. They can't beat them. And they're 10-0 in the last 10 games. So, to me, I just have a hard time. Eventually, you say, well, eventually they're going to win one of these. Boy, I don't know. That eventual always gets you.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because, again, Doncic can't play a whole lot better than he really has, and still down 0-2 after those first two games in Phoenix. And Chris Paul, again, just always seems to have that answer. But we'll see how Game 3 shakes out tonight. Josh, very quickly, luckily the Phillies and Mets are both off for very different reasons after what we saw last night. Is there any Major League Baseball play that really sticks out to you as possibly a really good one today?
Yeah, so first off, you know, anyone who was on the Phillies like me last night, sadly, 7-0, and you blow that in the ninth, and buy that person a drink today. They need a little bit of love and support. That was a brutal one. The biggest comeback late since 1997. I was 10 years old the last time something like that happened, guys. But I would say, guys, this isn't really sharp, I would say, but how can you not be betting against the Cincinnati Reds right now? They have the worst record in Major League Baseball. Not only are they losing, you know, 3-22, got to be one of the worst starts to a season in recent memory here, but they're also losing on a lot of these spread plays, a lot of these, you know, dog +1.5. So they're losing by two or more in the vast majority of their games. Now they're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates today. Are the Pirates a world beater? Absolutely not. But Pirates 10-14. They've been a little frisky here. The line's going to the Pirates. The Pirates opened at some shops like a -110, really short favorite. Pittsburgh is now up to around minus 130. You've seen a lot of movement here toward Pittsburgh. They have the better hitting team, 233 versus 203. Better pitching staff, 4.67 ERA versus almost 7 for Cincinnati. And the other thing I like, guys, a rest advantage. We think of rest advantage in like physical sports, like Michael knows this, an NFL team on a short week versus a team that's rested, or hockey, you're getting an extra rest here. But baseball, it can also make a difference. If you look at these teams who are off the previous day and they're favored today versus a team who played the previous day, that kind of rest advantage has been pretty good the last few years. Since 2018, it's 236 and 147, 62%. So if the Reds beat me today, guys, again, it's almost like that Philly play. I'll tip my cap. But when the going's good right now, I think you got to keep betting against Cincinnati. Give me the Buccos here around minus 130.
Yeah, I like that. And if we were closer together, Josh, as a Metropolitan fan, I'd buy you a drink today because you would have earned it after that one.
I need it.
After that last night. Hey, let's talk a little puck here. We got about 90 seconds to go here, Josh. Carolina's looked pretty darn good against Boston so far. What do you make of game three?
So I'm a Bruins fan, fully admit. It does not look good right now. The Bees look completely outmatched. It's JV varsity. They've been outscored 10-3. All the penalties are going against them. It looks terrible. But now this is another fishy one. Why are the Bruins favored tonight if they've been so outclassed so far in the series? This game actually opened Boston about a minus 125 favorite, something like that. You're up to around minus 135. This line is rising as we speak. You do have a backup goalie there with Carolina, so maybe they get to Kokachev tonight. No Lindholm, yet the line's going to the Bruins. This just looks fishy to me. I was expecting closer to a pick'em type number. I think the odds makers are showing a little bit of faith in Boston to bounce back. We all know, guys, when you're in the playoffs and you're the home team, that's an advantage. You get the last ice change. So backs against the wall, I'll play the Bruins. And my system match here, guys, would be these desperate teams. If you're in the NHL playoffs, you have experience as well. Coming off a loss so far, it's kind of that zigzag theory. It's very simple, but it's 6-2, these desperate teams off a loss this playoffs. And if you have playoff experience and made it last year, over the last 15 years or so, you're 54% in this spot, desperate and got to get a win with an ROI of close to like 10%. So it looks disgusting. It makes no sense. The Bruins look totally dead. But the line's moving in their favor. I got to sweat the Bees tonight. Let's see if they can surprise us.
And I think a lot of people thought this series would be much more competitive. The way it's began so far, not very competitive. Let's see if it gets more competitive tonight in game three. Hey, Josh, appreciate it, man. Great catching up as
Thanks,
always.
Josh.
We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Michael. Good luck.
There he is, everybody. Josh Applebaum. Michael, when we come back, I do want to pick your brain a little bit more on some news and notes around the NFL. So come on back. It's the Lombardi Line here on Friday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
BetMGM BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you're going to earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets, risk-free tokens, planning a trip to Vegas. Well, come on out. You can convert those BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resort properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Maybe it was a fumble.
Well, Mike Holmgren had the best line of all. Mike Holmgren said, if 20 guys in a bar think it's a fumble, it's probably a fumble. You know, I was there, and so when the play happened, I stood up in the press box in New England Stadium, at the old Patriot Stadium, which was Schaefer Stadium.
Right.
And I yelled, yes. And naturally, the PA announcer for the Patriots said, there'll be no cheering in this press box. And then right in front of me was Art Rooney. And Art McNally, excuse me. And Art McNally turned around to me and said, that's not going to stand. It's the tuck rule. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about. So the whole thing happens. Walt Coleman overturns it, and they make it the tuck rule, and we lose. Then Vinatieri kicks a field goal through one iron through the snow, which was remarkable. And then we lose the game. You know, we had more than ample chance to win the game. We had a third and one. We ran Zach Crockett. We would run 12 lead pretty much all year and always get the first down, and we went the wrong way and we didn't get it. You know, Charlie Gardner breaks through a hole. Mm-hmm. If he follows John Ritchie to the right, he's going to score. If he goes to the left, he's going to get inside the five. Instead, he runs up Ritchie's back and we don't get anywhere. So there's so many of those plays that happened. And, you know, to me, what makes this even more intriguing is after the game, we couldn't literally get out of Boston. It was snowing so bad. We did not leave until 6:30 the next morning. And by the time we got home, Al Davis called me on the phone and was like, what happened? And we were going over it. And I said, you know, this McNally guy in front of me, who? I said, Art McNally. He did what? And what I didn't realize at the time was, if you remember the immaculate reception.
Yes.
There was 18 minutes where the referees went into the dugout and they talked on the phone. Nobody knows, nor will they admit who they talked to.
Mm.
Nobody will admit this. But Al Davis felt it was Art McNally back in the league office conferring with them on what to do.
Whoa.
Because if you go back and watch that tape, no one signals touchdown.
Right.
No one signals touchdown. It's the only play where a running back or a receiver crosses the goal line and none of the referees signal touchdown.
That is wild to think about. And again, as somebody's spent decades in press boxes, well, you know the rule, but you know we don't hear the reprimand. That's very interesting because things happen in life that sometimes...
Well, they thought they lost. Thought they lost, and they thought the game was over. Nobody thought that play was... Nobody heard of the tuck. Nobody experienced the tuck.
That's right.
As Mike Holmgren said, 20 people in the bar think it's a fumble. It's a fumble. It was a fumble.
Well, again, you know, the Dez Bryant play is one that sticks out to me where right when they, you know, immediately my gut reaction was they're going to take this away. And it's those are weird moments in history where you have iconic plays and you're talking about the Immaculate Reception with Franco Harris where they don't signal touchdown even though the ball carrier looks like, you know, whether or not he catches it on the ricochet, but he does score, so you normally have to put up at least a signal. And then to your point, that the immediate reaction in that press box was, wait a minute, this isn't going to stand. Like, that is wild, whoever they are conferring with, and we don't know how those modes of communication happen and what's actually transpiring. To your point, we'll never know. But those are moments in NFL history that change the course of history. Now, it goes the Patriots' way that day, and now we fast forward, and Tom Brady, as the Bucs are going to play a regular season game in Germany, he's going to be the first quarterback to start a game in four different countries. Michael Lombardi, if they don't overturn that play and the tuck rule that you witnessed firsthand, is there any way this happens, that Tom Brady becomes Tom Brady, and now, decades later, he's going to be the first quarterback to start a game in four different countries?
You know, I think he would have been. I mean, that 04 and 05 team that won back-to-back Super Bowls was really a good team. And remember, they were picking – that team was picking in the bottom of the first round because of they went in the Super Bowl beating the Rams. You know, we won that tuck game, we were going to have to go to Pittsburgh and play Cordell Stewart, which we could never play. It was going to be really hard for us. That was going to be a real challenge. And we were going to have to go play them. And I think Pittsburgh would end up playing St. Louis in the Super Bowl. And whether it was us or Pittsburgh, play, we would have never beaten them because there was a strategic way to play the Rams, and Belichick knew it. We would not have known it. It would have been very difficult for us. So it wasn't like – I mean, I lost a year of Fordham education because I could, if the next check would have gotten you to the divisional – to conference championship game, which would have been a bigger playoff check.
Sure.
You know, so I lost a year of Fordham. That's my Fordham year there for my oldest son. But at the end of the day – I don't think we would, but I do think in 04 and 05, that Patriot team was so good, they were going to keep winning. I mean, they were hard to play. You couldn't block them. You know, they were tough. It was, you know, I think it was 03, 04. You couldn't block them. They were really good.
Well, the thing is, though, that is bizarre to me, and just, you know, you're a guy that literally had stakes in those actual games that we're talking about. It feels like we're talking about a different player. And the fact that 20 years removed plus from that game, Tom Brady is still at or near the height of his powers in 2022, I don't know that people still fully understand how rare this is. And that the fact that he is going to be, they're still the favorites to win the NFC South this year in Tampa Bay, potentially get back to another Super Bowl. And he's been to 10, and, you know, he's won 7. I mean, like, Michael, this just isn't normal stuff.
No, it's not. And, I mean, look. You know, and when you look around and you see James Harden doesn't have any juice or burst left in him at 32, and you're wondering, how the hell does Brady do it? You know, how is Brady doing this all the time? And so it's kind of remarkable how he's been able to really, he's the only person who's been able to beat Father Time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been able to kind of defeat him, and it's been hard. But, I mean, and when I went to New England in 14, I didn't think he had very much time left. I'll be the first to admit it. I thought he was towards the end. He wasn't throwing the ball down the field. You know, his yards per attempt went way down. You know, the playoff game, the conference championship game against Denver, he did not play well in 13. The team wasn't very good in 13, but somehow they came back, and now he's playing better than he's ever played. It's remarkable.
It is remarkable. And again, you know, like when they go ahead and they sign Jimmy G, they draft Jimmy G, that's when you start to go, oh, okay. They're looking for the heir apparent. And then you see what happened there. He plays so well that it's like, we got to trade Jimmy G.
Yeah, you got to get rid of Jimmy. Because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, he defied all the odds.
Right.
I mean, there's no way he should have kept playing. There's no way he could play at that level. Because the eye level of a quarterback will come down. I mean, you know, it's hard. Johnny Unitas at 39 had nothing left in him. I mean, some of these guys, they can't do it anymore. They've taken too many punches.
And that's why it's incumbent upon the Ryan Tannehills of the world that when you see somebody else get drafted for your eventual replacement, as your eventual replacement, make sure that they have to trade that guy away as you play and keep your job. That's the job that Ryan Tannehill is
right.
trying to make.
And that's his mindset, right? I mean, that's his mindset. He's going to try to keep his job.
That's it. He did exactly right, just like Tom Brady with Jimmy G. Hey, Michael, really appreciate it as always, my friend. Always great catching up. I want to thank Wes
David.
Reynolds and, of course, Josh Applebaum and Stephen Bond, our producer, for doing another great job here on the Lombardi Line. You and I back at it tomorrow, a big day
Can't
on a
wait.
Saturday, and I'm sure we'll sneak in some Kentucky Derby talk as well. Thanks for watching the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.